Would you please open your Bible to the book of Proverbs chapter 30 this morning? Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to start by reading a few verses from this chapter. Several of us have had quite an eventful week this past week. My wife and I getting back from a week of vacation. I know a lot of our young people were at camp this week. So exciting weeks come in the summertime. This is the Lord's Day, an opportunity for us to assemble ourselves together and focus our hearts, focus our minds, focus ourselves upon God. Normally in this 9:30 hour, we participate in a series. We are involved in a series. We wrapped up a study of seeking the lost just recently. And last week, I appreciate Brother Jacob's lesson on the small things that we can do to start conversations about the gospel with people and leading them to an understanding and obedience to the truth. We're going to start another series on rejoice in the Lord always. It's going to be a study of the book of Philippians, focusing on the theme of rejoice. We're going to start that in a couple of weeks. This week, because I've been out of town, a little bit of a time crunch, I want to look at something different. Then next week is the day before our VBS starts, and I want to use that 9:30 hour to get us ready for VBS. So that'll be next week. But then following that, we're going to get into a series of rejoicing in the Lord. Let's start this morning, though. Let's start by reading Proverbs 30, verses 25 through 31. 25 through 31. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces. There are three things which are majestic in pace, yes, four which are stately in walk. A lion which is mighty among beasts and does not turn away from any, a greyhound, a male goat also, and a king whose troops are with him. God realizes that in his animal creation, there are some traits, there are some characteristics in those beasts that he has made that are admirable. Or at least they are there to give us positive examples. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Learn to be industrious. Make wise use of your time. And the other animals that are listed there. And this passage is not the only place in the Bible where we're drawn to animals. And animals are used for examples for us. I recently read this short book written by a brother in Christ, Warren Berkeley, or at least compiled by him. He asked different Christians who were veterinarians or who had devoted their lives to studying different kinds of animals to submit some lessons on animals from the Bible. And some very interesting observations are made in this book. There are a lot of lessons that we can learn from animals. There's a sermon outline that has made its rounds for many years about geese and looking at the formation of geese flying and how they take turns taking the lead. And there are a lot of good lessons, applications that are made of a positive nature from looking at geese. I want to look at an animal that isn't mentioned in the Bible, but I want to look at an animal that is not so positive. So sometimes things serve best as being a bad example for us to learn from. I want us to consider this morning some lessons we can learn from a possum. A possum is not a glamorous animal. It's not going to make someone's list of favorite animal, maybe a handful of people. It's not a pet for most people. It's a nuisance. This possum I caught 2 years ago on the back porch. And I went out there, and Riley went out there, our dog, and you can see that he and Riley were not getting along at the time when I took the picture. But we were actually trying to catch a raccoon that was getting into the church building out here at the end of the eve. And so we put a trap out hoping to catch a raccoon, and we caught the possum instead. I let him loose at the big pile of brush back here in the back of the property. It's a perfect place for a possum to live. He's in paradise now. But he was not very appreciative of being in the cage on this morning when I caught him. We had a lot of possums in Arkansas where I grew up. What I want to do, I want us to take a look at four characteristics or four traits that possums have that we don't need to have. So let's consider some lessons we can learn from a possum, some things that we don't need to be doing. I hope I've got your attention for a few minutes this morning. First, possums are nocturnal. Nocturnal means that they live at night. And God created a number of animals to be nocturnal. They sleep during the day and they're active at night. And a possum is one of those. And of course, there's nothing wrong with an animal living at night. They have their role to play. That's the way that God created them. But Christians are told to be people of the day. That doesn't mean that it's wrong for us to be outside at night, although it's not always a wise thing. We might tell our young people as they get to be teenagers, as they start driving, nothing good is happening at night. You really don't need to be out at night. And there's nothing wrong with working a night shift as well. But I want to use this figure of the night and the day. And I want us to see that the Bible calls upon us as followers of Christ to be people of the day and not people of the night. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Paul is writing this letter to a church that's made of primarily of Gentiles. They were walking in darkness, Paul says. That is, they were walking in sin. They were dead in their sins. And now they have been called to walk in light as God is in the light. And so there are some things that are expected to change in their behavior. Look in chapter 5, Ephesians 5, starting in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So again, we're not talking here about physical night, physical day, but we're talking spiritually. Paul's using night and day in a figurative way, to say we need to be children of the light. We need to be walking in God's Word. We need to be doing God's truth. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, Romans chapter 13 and at verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. There's a difference between night and day, and darkness and light, spiritually speaking. And Paul says you draw that line and you do those things that are of the day, not those things that are of the night. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, after talking about the resurrection and talking about the second coming of Christ, Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some animals thrive at night. Christian, you have been called to live in the day. We are to walk in the light. We are not to walk in the darkness. Here's something else about possums that I learned firsthand when I was growing up. Possums love to dig through garbage for food. Sometimes I would make the mistake as a youngster, I would take out a bag of trash and I wouldn't put it in the trash can with the lid on it. I would just put that bag of trash outside. Guess what I would find in the morning? I would find that during the night, some animal had smelled the food in that bag had torn that bag apart and taken out every part of that bag looking for the food. And since I was the one that took out the bag, and I was the one that didn't put it in the can, my mom and dad made sure that I was the one out there in the morning picking up every piece of trash and putting it in a new bag and putting that in the can. At our house, when we were growing up, that wasn't a raccoon. I know raccoons are notorious for that. I never saw a raccoon when I was growing up, but we had plenty of possums. It was a possum. They would make a mess. And, of course, you'd have to go out there and you'd have to clean it up. And there was the reminder as you were picking up every bit of trash that it had been in a possum's mouth. But we had to pick it up. Digging through the trash, looking for food, making a mess. The Bible describes gossip in the same way. Turn with me back to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and at verse 8. Proverbs 18 and verse 8 says, "The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body." The English Standard Version renders that verse, "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels." Delicious morsels. You know, we never threw away a complete steak dinner. What we threw away were the pieces that were left. And that possum would dig through the trash and would find those delicious morsels and enjoy those, but in the process would make a complete and total mess. That's the way a gossip is. When a gossip hears something or a slanderer hears something about somebody else, that little bit of information is for them a delicious morsel. They take it in. They enjoy it. It satisfies their pride because it's a ding against somebody else's honor. It's something ugly. Have you ever noticed that as a society, we as Americans love to tear down our heroes? We love to lift people up, and the next day we love to tear them back down. There's that love, that strange interest in seeing people at their worst. There's that tasty morsel. But what happens when you get that tasty morsel? There's that desire to share it with somebody else. So there's that drive to be a gossip, a slander. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about what they did? And the last thing you want to hear them say is, "Oh yeah, I've heard that." That ruins everything. No, you want to be the first one to tell them. There's that excitement. There's that rush. There's that tasty morsel that is there. But while you're doing all of that and enjoying all of that, what's happening? You're making a mess. You're making a mess with somebody else's garbage, with somebody else's trash that they want to keep confined. They want to keep it put away. They want to keep the lid put on that. Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28. "A perverse person sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." All the damage that is done, all the mess that is made chasing after that one delicious morsel. In chapter 11 and verse 13, Proverbs 11 verse 13, "A talebearer reveals secrets." Hey, have you heard? What are they doing? They're taking the lid off the garbage. Here it is. They reveal those secrets. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. When it comes to gossip, I believe it's all about love. If you participate in the gossip and you share the gossip, it's because you love the morsel. And you love the rush of being the talebearer. But if you put the lid on it, it's because you love the person that it's about. And you don't want to participate in throwing their garbage out in the street. Don't be a possum. Don't dig through other people's trash to find those tasty morsels. Don't do that. Here's something else about possums, maybe something they're a little better known for, and it's more harmless. Possums like to hang upside down. God gave them that prehensile tail, which they're able to move and manipulate and grasp things with. I said they're nocturnal. I remember as a kid finding a possum that was asleep, and if you take a stick or take a broomstick and poke on it a little bit, pretty soon that tail would wrap around that stick. You could pick that possum up, and it'd be hanging upside down, hanging by its tail. Then you could beat it like a pinata. No. No, you wouldn't do that. Don't do a guy like that when he's asleep. But they had those tails, and they hang upside down by their tails. Now, what's wrong with being upside down? Nothing. If you want to do it, go ahead and do it. Do it at home. Don't do it here. And do it while you can, because when you get older like I am, you don't want to be hanging upside down. But God made some animals to hang upside down. Bats sleep hanging upside down. Possums hang upside down. But there is a sense, there's an application here where we don't need to be hanging upside down. We don't need to be turning things upside down. And I want to make the application to the way we treat God's Word. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5 and at verse 20, the prophet says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." What were the Israelites doing in Isaiah's day? They were taking God's truth and turning it upside down, particularly regarding idolatry. The book of Isaiah has got a lot to say about idolatry. And what were the Israelites doing? They were practicing idolatry. They were taking that which God said was evil, and they were saying that it was good, that it was light, that it was sweet. And along comes the prophet Isaiah, the other prophets before him and after him say, no, that's wrong, that's evil, that's darkness, that's bitterness. Don't do that. But notice what they're doing here. Woe to those who call evil good. We're going to go worship the idol that is good. But not content with that, they call what is good evil. What would they be saying, the prophets like Isaiah? How dare you tell us not to worship these idols? If we don't worship these idols, we're not going to have a good crop this fall. Because this idol is an agricultural idol. We've gotten it from the people who were living here before us. That's how they got good crops. That's how we're going to have good crops. How dare you do this to our family and to our loved ones and try to ruin our crops for the year? So what are they doing? They're taking what God says is evil and calling it good, and those who are doing what is good and saying, no, that's evil. I think the most obvious application we have of that today is the pro-homosexual movement. Haven't you come to dislike the month of June? I'm sorry if your birthday or anniversary is in June, but this is not a fun month anymore. It's not a pleasant month anymore. Why? Because those who are involved in this abomination of homosexuality and all the other letters that they want to add on to it, this is their pride month. This is where they step out and say, this is us and this is good. This is light. This is sweet. And you better accept it. Because if you don't join us in accepting it and embracing it, then you are evil. And you are dark, and you are bitter. What are they doing? They're taking God's word and turning it upside down. That's the most obvious example, but there are many, many others. The Bible talks about those who would take God's word and turn it upside down. Peter warns about those who twist the scriptures to their own destruction. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 16. Instead, we need to be like what Paul admonished Timothy to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling accurately the word of truth. I was reminded this past week of the well-known saying, you can take the Bible and make it say anything that you want. Yes, you can. But the Bible condemns that. The Bible condemns that. We don't need to twist the Scriptures. We need to be honest with the Scriptures, and we need to make sure that they stand upright and they teach the truth, or we need to just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. But let's not be like a possum regarding the Scriptures. Let's not try to turn it upside down. One more thing about a possum I want us to consider, and that's perhaps the things possums are most known for, best known for, and that is playing possum. Possums, God gave possums a unique defense mechanism. When they feel threatened, they play dead. This possum is not really dead. He's playing dead. I've had a possum do this to me before. I did treat one like a pinata one time. I was trying to end his sojourn on this earth, and I thought that I had succeeded, only to wake up the next morning, he got me. He got me. He played possum. Well, that night, I took care of him, and the next day, buzzards were taking care of him. That's another animal we could talk about someday. Maybe not. But that's their defense mechanism. Hognose snakes do the same thing. When they feel threatened, they turn upside down. They show you their belly. They play dead. Fainting goats, I don't know how much of a defense mechanism that is. Maybe the rest of them are able to run away while the predator eats the one who's fainted. But God's given animals different defense mechanisms. This is one. And in fact, they're not playing dead. The possum is actually going through a natural reflex when it does this. It's not playing, it's not pretending. How do we make an application of this to us today? As Christians, we are called to be soldiers of the Lord. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 17 that he has been appointed for the defense of the gospel. He tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and at verse 12 to fight the good fight of faith. Unfortunately, there are times when Christians need to stand and they need to fight, and they're found rolling over and playing dead. Some Christians don't like to fight. They don't like the fuss. It's very uncomfortable to them. They don't want to fuss. They don't want to argue. They don't want to fight. And you know what? I don't either. I've never enjoyed fighting. I've never enjoyed arguing. There are times when we must contend earnestly for the faith, which has been once for all delivered, Jude verse 3 says. There are times that we must be ready to give an answer to anyone and everyone who asks the reason for the hope that is in us, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And it's times like that that we don't need to be playing dead. We don't need to be excusing ourselves from the battlefield for one reason or another. No, we need to respond as faithful soldiers. We need to stand and we need to fight. So it's kind of interesting to watch a possum play dead. Your initial reaction most of the time to meeting a possum is that first screen I put up. They're going to show you all their teeth and they're going to hiss and it's going to sound terrible. And if that doesn't get the job done, then they might just play dead and see if that's going to work or not. Don't be a possum. Don't play dead when the alarm has sounded and it's time for you to take a stand for the Lord. And that might be when we're here assembled together. That's very likely going to be when we leave this building. And we're in our daily lives and we're approached by someone or we find ourselves in a situation where we need to take a stand. Let's pray to God that He'll give us, number one, the wisdom to know when those times come, and number two, the courage not to be like a possum and roll over and play dead, but to take a stand, an effective stand, for God and for His truth. So there are a lot of animals that God has created, and He tells us in our word, in His Word, that we can look to them and we can learn from them. Don't be a possum. Don't be like a possum. Don't love the things of darkness. Don't live in the night, but live in the light of God's day. Don't dig through the trash looking for a tasty morsel to tell about someone else that's making a mess with someone else's private affairs. Don't do that. Don't twist God's word and turn it around and hang it upside down. Woe to the person who does that. And don't play dead. You're alive in Christ. Live in Christ. Be alive in Him. I thank you for your attention. And I hope that we can take these things we've talked about this morning and we can put them to use in our lives. They'll serve as good warnings for us as we serve the Lord. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful for your revelation, your word that you've given to us. And we're thankful for your creation. We're thankful that we can look at the animal creation. And we can see the characteristics of these great things, great animals, great beasts that you have made, and that we can learn from them. We pray that you would help us to learn the admirable traits and to implement them in our lives. And we pray that you would help us to avoid the negative examples that we see around about us, and that we would perfect ourselves, and that we would be more faithful servants of yours. Bless us as we go throughout this morning of Bible study and worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now dismissed to our classes.